Welcome to the home for Texas political and news analysis without an out-of-state corporate management muzzle. It's Pratt on Texas with Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, winning a battle here and there, Texas Democrats know they've lost the war in Texas for now. And much more related political news. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug testing at Allied Compliance Services. See more at alliedcompliance.com. The border mess from Biden is getting much worse, and through policy changes, the far left's open or no borders plan is actually being implemented. Much on that today. Also, a prime example of how the left wants to put you and your family's lives at risk, but not jailing offenders. And the Associated Propagandists go right along because it's part of their left-wing agenda. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. And today in Texas history, well, this is the day in 1842, the Republic of Texas approved the Fisher-Miller Grant for 3 million acres between Llano and Colorado Rivers. It eventually failed. Also, my friends, this is an interesting one. On June 7th, 1979, that's right, on this day in 79, Asa Earl Carter, part Indian, segregationist, politician, speechwriter, and novelist, died as a result of a fistfight in Abilene. That's right, he came out of Alabama. He had a radio show back in the 50s for the American States Rights Association. And anyway, he was one of the people that responsible for the words, one of the two writers, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever, uttered by Governor George Wallace. He ran against Wallace in 1970 and gave up politics and left Alabama. Well, he adopted the pseudonym Bedford Forrest Carter and settled in Sweetwater, where he used the resources of the City County Library to work on his first novel, Gone to Texas, in 1973. Now, you know that as the great Clint Eastwood movie, The Outlaw Josie Wales, that came out in 1976. He wrote three other books, including the purported autobiography, The Education of Little Tree, in 76, before his death, died in a fistfight, apparently, in Abilene in 1979. Congratulations to the Red Raiders. They knocked off UCLA 8-2 to advance to the Super Regional and NCAA baseball tournament. That's a great thing. They beat Army, North Carolina, and UCLA, and they host the best of three Super Regional next weekend against the Stanford Regional winner. So that'll be either the Cardinal or UC Irvine, and that's great. Congratulations to them, and that'll be good to host that Super Regional in the hub city of Lubbock, Texas. By the way, you might want to tune in American Pickers on the History Channel tonight at 9 o'clock. I think it's 9 o'clock Central. Microplex News telling us the Eastland County Museum will be one of the featured stops in American Pickers that airs tonight, June 7th, 9 p.m. on the History Channel. And I just wanted to say rest in peace to Ray Donovan. You may remember that name. He was Reagan's labor secretary in the first administration, and he was a big executive in a construction company. He was a labor secretary under Ronald Reagan, but the New York political machine politically just went after him like they're doing Trump. He had to resign. They charged him with grand larceny and all kinds of things. He was acquitted by a jury. He was 90 years old when he died this last week. He became famous for his line after his acquittal, and it's the right one. Which office do I go to get my reputation back? Donovan was a very good, honest businessman, a faithful Roman Catholic, a dedicated patriot, a great family man, survived by his wife of 63 years, Kathy, as well as three children and nine grandchildren. He was a leading fundraiser for Reagan's presidential campaign, was named labor secretary, served from 81 to 85, resigned after a judge, another one of these corrupt judges, refused to dismiss an indictment that was filed in 84 by the Bronx district attorney there in New York City. Sound familiar? I tell you, this stuff's not new. Donovan strongly contested the accusations that he had been part of some kind of big conspiracy on a New York subway project. to, you know, siphon funds off. He called the prosecution unfounded and politically motivated and expressed confidence he'd be acquitted, and he and his co-defendants were in May of 87. Following an eight-month trial, an earlier investigation into these allegations that were brought forward in the Bronx that caused him to lose his reputation was from a federal prosecutor who said there was insufficient credible evidence, but that didn't stop the locals, just as it's not today, folks. This stuff isn't new. These hotbeds, these snake's dens of absolute immoral behavior for political gain continue to go on, and New York continues to be one of those snake dens. And his quote is famous for a good reason. Which office do I go to get my reputation back? Never forget that a lot of these people who have been persecuted and prosecuted weren't guilty of anything. You got to wait and see what the evidence says. And in his case, the feds had already looked into it and said there was no credible evidence. That didn't stop the locals. Reminds me a lot of this case against Paxton, where the feds looked at it and it even got to a federal court and the court threw it all out. And yet those charges you keep hearing about against Paxton in Texas are the exact same things. In other words, it's exactly like that. And it's the same charges, and they want to pull it in a state court. And there's a reason. There's a reason why they won't give Ken Paxton his day in court, and these special persecutors have been delaying and delaying for years now. The reason is they want the charges over his head. Every single news story in the liberal press, no matter what the subject, has to put paragraphs down in the bottom. Paxton's facing charges, blah, blah. This is how you ruin people. Just remember, Ray Donovan turned out to be completely not guilty, and so were all the other people in the case. Where do you go to get your reputation back? This is a dangerous way to play politics, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get in a few other Texas headlines. Out of Titus County in East Texas, on Friday, a jail employee, Sheila Landers, was arrested on charge of theft of property enhanced. 2 days prior to her arrest, the Titus County Sheriff ordered an investigation into possible instances of theft when an inmate who was released reported he didn't get his property upon release. This reported by KLTV. Also KLTV out of Tyler, telling us a Tyler ISD principal's resigned. Police went to their house, he and his wife there, and they found what looked, you know, drugs, I guess. Controlled substance, sounded like cocaine or something. And Athens officials shocked by arrest of mayor for online solicitation of a minor. That's right. The East Texas mayor there in Athens, James Monty Montgomery, resigned from his position Friday after a Thursday arrest. DPS said the arrest of four men was part of a multi-jurisdictional effort with other agencies that had been working undercover for months to draw out individuals who were targeting children. So they arrested four of them, charged with second-degree felony online solicitation of a minor. And my friends down in the Rio Grande Valley and far, an argument led to a murder-suicide. KVEO reporting that Roberto Ruiz, 43, shot Isaac Montez 18 multiple times. They got in an argument over relationship allegations with a mutual acquaintance, and then I guess the guy popped himself, they said. Terrible. Man shot in a home invasion robbery in Northeast Houston. You need to always be armed and ready. That's right, two mask-wearing assailants snuck into a residence where they shot and robbed and pistol-whipped a homeowner and his friend. Anson PD, that's right, in Jones County, had a story up, too, where they've arrested Keith Ellis, charged with aggravated sexual assault, aggravated robbery, and burglary of a habitation with intent to commit sexual assault. In other words, a home invasion in small-town West Texas. And a teenager, 16-year-old, has been charged with murder in a shooting at an Odessa apartment complex. Also, a robber hit a North Houston store and made a slow getaway on a bicycle, and he got away. And they now think this guy is responsible for a whole bunch of other robberies in Houston, making the getaway on the bicycle. Maybe he's one of these greeny-weeny ones, so he'll get a light sentence from the jury when they catch him. Back in a moment, my friends.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Fret on Texas will be right back after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
From Reagan to Biden, Bill Clements to Greg Abbott, here's a host who has been involved in it all while being self-employed and fighting government overreach, too. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, Texas Hour. There are a lot of stories in the state press over the weekend and today, basically trying to praise Democrats for screwing up the election integrity bills at the end of the legislative session. But I think actually the Statesman had the best story that fits reality. Here's the headline. With voting bill, Texas Democrats are fighting a battle in war they lost on Election Day. This is exactly right. Let me give you the tenor of the story, of the lead here. The day after Democrats in the Texas House killed the one piece of Republican legislation pretty much all of them hated, they were hailed as heroes by their fellow partisans across the country. But the collective mood of the Texas Democrats on Monday was something less than celebratory. Sure, they'd won a significant battle, but in a very real sense, they lost the war 7 months earlier. Despite their highest hopes in nearly a generation that they could finally wrest control of the House from Republicans, the November 3rd, 2020 elections ended without a single net gain for the party in the 150-member chamber. Later on, they talk about Abbott going to call lawmakers back for a special session that'll be narrowly focused, which limits the parliamentary tactics available to Democrats to frustrate Republicans. In 03, members broke quorum and fled to Ardmore, Oklahoma in an effort to thwart a GOP-backed mid-decade congressional redistricting move. They stayed away for 3 days and then returned. Later that year on the Senate side, Democrat members fled the state and stayed gone for several weeks during a special legislative session called to finish the redistricting process that, of course, Republicans ended up just finishing anyway. A decade later, Democrat State Senator Wendy Davis staged that big filibuster theater to kill a pro-life bill. National Democrats, including President Obama, were thrilled and they got all the great headlines, but Republicans were called back and they finished the job. And I like this quote in the Statesman. Both experiences prove that tactics that fuel national headlines for Texas Democrats eventually run out of gas in the Republican-ruled legislature. Tom Craddock, former speaker, said of Midland, said it makes a statement. And he was in there in that redistricting bill running the show. But we did pass the redistricting bill, and I suspect that's what's going to happen this time, referring to the elections bill. Some in the trenches, Democrats say privately, the party blew its chance of placing any sort of speed bump in front of a Republican freight train when it misread the Texas political landscape last year. You know what they're blaming their big election losses on? Let me give you the sentence in the Statesman. Democrats figured voters would reward them for avoiding personal contact during the campaign. In other words, going door to door because of the pandemic. Next sentence, that didn't happen. I mean, these people are nuts. And then later, but if there's any silver lining for the Dems, it's that fresh off yet another string of legislative victories, Republicans are fighting among themselves and talking about Bush challenging Paxton and all these other challenges and Alan West and may run. Huffines challenging Abbott. Let me tell you, this is what a lot of your people, locals and others that think they're the establishment will always tell you, that fighting amongst ourselves, it's bad. No, it's not. Not in the primary. It's a great misconception, a great misunderstanding of how political competition works. Strong primary contests build a party in all ways, including making them stronger in the following general election in November. Always. Does. Brings tons more volunteers in, tons more new donors in. I don't care. Local race, statewide, whatever. It gets more people with skin in the game and gets them hyped up about the election. Sure, there are always some hurt feelings in people that sit out, but they're not the net. They're a small minority. You always have a net gain in a healthier party when you have very strong primaries. And that's not a silver lining, folks, because what it does is it forces the candidates particularly those who have been in office a while and begin to stray from the fundamentals. It forces them to get back on the message that is of most concern to voters, because the challengers will always pick up those messages and run on those, whether it's border security, you name it, election security, you name it. And it forces the conversation to get much more in-depth and much greater, louder, and set in stone than if you didn't have serious challenges. So it's not a silver lining, and basically you can take the statesman's wrap-up of all this. It's, I don't want to compliment them all the time, but it's night and day better than anything appearing in the Hearst papers and the others, where they're still trying to say, look what Democrats did, oh, they're still probably going to lose. But the statesman piece of writing was extremely clear, and it's exactly right. They've already lost the war, and they know it, for this go-around, for redistricting, which should, you know, give the Republicans a big hand for another decade. By the way, these wins continue. You know, Maddie Parker won the special election Saturday for the mayorship of Fort Worth. She beat the Deborah Peoples, a former Democrat county chairwoman, who would have been the city's first black mayor. And she won pretty well. She won by a pretty good margin, too, the Republican. Now, she's not a conservative. She worked for Betsy Price, but she's not a liberal Democrat either. So they lost that. And then the week before, you got the special election over there in the Texas 6, where Susan Wright, a strong conservative, beat State Rep Jake Elsey for Congress to take the seat that was held by her late husband. I mean, it was 15,000 to 10,000. And then you got the Brownsville mayor seat being flipped this weekend. Javier Villalobos, a Republican, by the way, he's an attorney. I think he's a city attorney for the city of Donna. And their officials, or he's been, you know, a contract city attorney for Donna in the Valley. And I read one of their officials just praising the guy, saying it may be Democrats, but they think this guy's a great leader. He won the seat held by a Democrat. It was a small margin, but he got over 51% of the vote. So in the preliminary votes, he beat Veronica Vella Whitaker. And so we'll see how that goes. That's another gain for Republicans in Texas. Chip Gaines' sister, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines, wake up. His sister and major critical race theory opponent, Shannon Braun, won this Grapevine-Colleyville school board seat, and that was the issue in the campaign, teaching critical race theory. And then you get to the upcoming things, and this is a very good piece in The Statesman about redistricting coming up. Will GOP mapmakers give Austin a Democratic U.S. House district? I marked this up with a lot of good quotes. I probably shouldn't waste a ton of time giving it to you. Right now, look, Austin, when we were dealing with this before, you had the exurbs that were more heavily Republican. Some of the suburbs, the suburbs have filled in more with Austin growth into being more Democrat. Right now, Austin's sliced into five districts. Texas gets another seat in Congress, and most people are speculating that they'll concentrate Democrat voters in the city and make Travis County, Austin, have its own congressional seat. I think it's the biggest city in the country not to have its own. And they point out it'll do some good things. It would accomplish several goals: shore up neighboring GOP districts, redraw the one Travis County district represented by a Democrat, Lloyd Doggett, with more Republican voters, make it harder for him to win re-election, and create a new GOP district in another part of the state. Net result, two more Republican members of Congress. This piece in The Statesman, if you're interested in redistricting, is very, very good. It has a lot of, a lot of good points in it. And you've got Democrats like Michael Lee, who's a real redistricting expert, saying, look, it makes sense to draw a circle around Austin. Democrats, you get one district, which would please Austinites, and Republicans can design other districts to their advantage. And that's exactly what I think will happen in the upcoming redistricting that we have to wait until the fall for, because the Census Bureau couldn't get its work done. The, jockeying for these districts is already going on behind the scenes. Don't kid yourself. But there are a lot of interesting things in that piece in The Statesman. I'll give you the headline again in case you want to look it up. Will GOP mapmakers give Austin a Democratic U.S. House district? Some experts say that's a likely scenario. It seems to be one of the smartest plays in the state. Austin's grown so much, it's going to be very hard to keep dividing it up with the pie slices. By the way, that's not a nefarious thing. Well, that's what we have to do around cities. Basically, they become a pie, the center of a pie, and you take slices out and balance out the inner urban vote inside the liberal cities with more and more exurbs. And so it ends up sort of like a pie. The lines don't exactly look at that like that, but that's how it works. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Oh boy, I got a little more in this stack. We'll get to it when we come back after the break. Stay with us on Pratt on Texas.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Tom in Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Learn more about Dr. Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Want to hear Pratt on Texas On Demand as a podcast or hear Pratt's long-form interview podcasts? Just say Pratt on Texas Podcast to your smartphone's assistant like Siri or Google Assistant. It really is that easy.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I do want to dive into the border news, and I will in a moment, a little more in my political news stack. Todd Gilman, writing for the Dallas Morning News, had what's supposed to be a news story. It's nothing but editorializing. The headline, no, Donald Trump didn't win Texas by a lot in 2020. It was among the worst GOP victory margins in decades. And his third sentence or fourth sentence in the story says, when Trump said in North Carolina the other day that we won Texas by a lot, Gilman writes, that's revisionist history, pure and simple. He only carried a margin of 5.6 percentage points. Let me just tell you, you can't make that claim that Gilman's making because it's subjective. When you have a balanced state, which Texas has never been, as National Review quoted me on during that Ted Cruz and Beto Poncho election, Texas has not changed. You just had a Democratic Party that wasn't putting up any kind of real candidates here. Or you had somebody like Hillary Clinton that was extraordinarily unpopular, even in some states that were, almost or maybe Democrat majorities. In fact, we know that's the case because Trump won some of those states. It's not that small a margin. It's pretty much right on it. I said then it's a 4 to 6 point Republican state. It's been a 4 to 6 point Republican state in November in national elections going back to the 1960s. It's just the way it is. And Gilman has to write this piece, oh, Trump's lying. Well, he's wrong. That's a subjective statement anyway. By a lot? Well, that can mean anything to anybody. For people, when you're talking about competitive districts, that's a big victory, a big margin of victory. Just telling you. And they say, well, what about Republican victories of 30%, 40%? That's when Democrats put up nobodies. Beto O'Rourke was out. He's Beto Poncho's out in Lubbock, Abilene, Wichita Falls, everywhere, talking about threat to our democracy's not over. And the stuff he's talking about is balderdash. But let me give you an example of how these folks are completely brainwashing people. The piece from KRBC in Abilene. Here's a quote. I'm 14 years old, said Kevin Edwards. Edwards attended the event, and while he isn't old enough to vote yet, Edwards says it's important for him to have an understanding of voting now. Well, you're not getting it listening to a radical Democrat lie to you, Edwards. Quote, even though I'm still young, it's even more of a reason to be more concerned because if they are starting with those voter suppression laws now, imagine what it can be in just 4 years, said Edwards. So local parties, we got to get out and counter this stuff. They're buying all this. If the reporter had actually done the job and say, explain to me exactly what in the bill was voter suppression, what makes it harder to vote over the way it has been. In other words, what's the change from the status quo? He wouldn't be able to answer it. Because it's all a bunch of bull. But this is how the game is played. That's why we have to keep fighting. The George H.W. Bush Foundation for U.S.-China Relations agreed to accept a $5 million donation from a group with ties to the Chinese Communist Party and China's international propaganda efforts. A big report came out this Saturday. Fox News talking about the report. It was the foundation, the group was founded by Neil Bush, brother to former President W. And the Bush China Foundation. And Axios did the story, and they're getting tons of money from a group that's directly tied to the Communist Party, apparatus for propaganda around the world. And they talk about how this is not the only place they're active. They're active in all the our universities, these Confucius Institutes and high schools and all kinds of stuff all over the country. All right. And by the way, in the race for chairman, since West has announced his resignation, the Republican Party of Texas, I noticed that former state rep Matt Rinaldi announced his bid at the end of the week. And the executive committee will make this decision. Then the convention will elect a full term. But the executive committee will pick somebody to fill out the term. So you've got that. You've got former GOP vice chair Kat Parks. There are others. Interestingly, Senator Dawn Buckingham is reportedly looking at running for Texas land commissioner. She's already started some online ads hinting at that, I think, over the weekend. So I don't know why she'd want to leave the Senate. It's so hard to get somebody elected to the state Senate. It's such a prestigious and more powerful post. I don't know why Dawn Buckingham would want to leave that and be land commissioner. So that race, that was an interesting thing. I was surprised to see that. The Senate seats are pretty much the brass ring in Texas politics. Maybe the only thing beyond that being lieutenant governor, and then for some governor, but for the insider types, lieutenant governor seems to be more powerful. Don't know why Senator Buckingham would want to leave that open again, where we might could lose it or have real troubles in that race and get somebody less conservative after she had to work so hard to win it. But looks like she's going to go run for land commissioner in the next race, or at least is exploring it heavily and taking action down that road. All right, my friends, it's true. That was the Lone Star story of the day. All that wrapped together, the Democrats, they love to talk about these battles they've won, like the little battle at the end of the session. And but as the statesman pointed out, when you look at all this, I mean, we just won the Browns. We just won the big mayorship in the Rio Grande Valley. And Fort Worth, the Democrats didn't pick that up. They didn't even make the runoff in the Texas 6 race they thought they had a chance in the Tarrant County area. So, you know, they already lost the war. They lost it at the ballot box, as the statesman pointed out last year. And now Republicans should be able to control redistricting. Remember, our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug testing from Allied Compliance Services. Let's move to our border news stack. A big piece by Randy Clark. Criminal aliens getting free pass, say ICE agents. Criminal aliens, folks. It's in Breitbart, put up yesterday. Two law enforcement sources with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, expressed concern about policies enacted by the Biden administration that limit their ability to enforce existing laws. The sources raised the alarm over the release of criminal aliens into the United States and on the limitations placed upon them as it pertains to arresting fugitives who are illegal aliens subject to immediate removal. In Del Rio, an ICE agent speaking on condition of anonymity, says the number of criminal aliens being released onto the streets is beyond belief. On Friday, the source says one migrant released from the local jail, who's a citizen of Mexico and previously deported from this country, was set free into the U.S. rather than being returned to Mexico, as was standard practice before the new Biden administration policy. The source says, we just turned him loose. The man's an illegal alien. He has no claim to be in or remain in the United States and no relief from deportation. It's a no-brainer. We normally just reinstate the removal order and be done with it. Criminal alien arrested had just served 6 months concurrent sentence for possession of methamphetamine and solicitation of prostitution. Prior to January, this man would have been swiftly removed to Mexico, only blocks away from the jail. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't tell you who will or will not hurt someone in the future, but we mostly arrest criminal aliens. Most of our arrests come straight out of jail. Guess what? Many are released right onto the streets, the agent said. Source says it's becoming too common. We're arresting fewer criminal aliens than ever in our agency's history. I don't know what it'll take for people to wake up and see what potential danger this will cause in the future. According to the source in Del Rio, according to the Del Rio agent, ICE agents are being told not to expand resources to remove migrants who do not have violent felony convictions and pose a risk of terrorism. So everything else is okay, I guess. And it goes on. Another ICE agent in Houston who can't, you know, not authorized to speak to the media, informed Breitbart, Texas, that four teams of fugitive operations group agents have been limited to one case every 2 or 3 weeks under the Biden administration's desire to deport fewer aliens. Folks, these are criminal aliens, convicts. Source said a contract detention facility in Conroe is being paid for housing 600 migrants arrested by Houston ICE agents. Normally, prior to January, nearly all beds were occupied by migrants awaiting removal, in other words, deportation. Now, due to the limitations put on them by Biden, only two beds were being occupied 1 week ago by people awaiting removal. This is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. More on the subject in a moment.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Wish to comment on a story? Send an email. Visit the contact page at prattontexas.com or join the listener club and get that direct to Pratt email address.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas and Biden's border mess. Another piece at Breitbart, Texas by Randy Clark. U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez, he's our new congressman that fronts the border, told Breitbart, Texas that open border rhetoric during the last presidential campaign transformed into the open border policies of this president's administration. The Texas congressman said these policies led to the current flood of migrants illegally entering the country. Congressman Gonzalez just completed a bicameral bipartisan visit to the border in Texas in the Rio Grande Valley. Accompanying him were Senators Cornyn and Sinema, she's the Democrat in Arizona, along with Democrat Representative Henry Cuellar, whose district's down there. Gonzalez said a joint effort's the only solution to a problem that has constituents on both sides of the aisle fed up with the increase in illegal immigration traffic along the 820 miles of border in the district. When you're on the ground, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. People want a solution, Gonzalez said. Well, this is a real problem. And then you find stories like this one that appeared at Newsmax by Charlie McCarthy. I think this was on Friday late or Friday during the day. Thousands of illegal immigrants enter the U.S. daily, while much of the $2 billion Congress did set aside for a wall and technology in the busiest region of the southern border goes unspent. Washington Examiner, okay, so he's reporting on a Washington Examiner piece, said 89 of the project's 110 miles remains unfinished along the Rio Grande. That's the Texas border. Although Biden administration shut down wall construction funded through diversions from the Trump administration, that was the defense dollars, that this project was approved and funded by the House and Senate. By the way, I think there's a lawsuit against that too, saying he doesn't have the right to stand in the way of that. So we'll see where that goes. Most of the southern border's wall projects were funded by Congress during the Trump administration and had been completed. Most that were funded had been completed. Senior Border Patrol agent who oversees the region's wall construction said the project cost about $20 million a mile. Washington Examiner said it was unclear why construction of the final 89-mile stretch had been stalled. Oh, yeah, we know why. It's very clear. Top Republicans are trying to force the administration to build the portion of the wall that was appropriated by Congress. Well, that's right. They did it. It's the law of the land. So this is what the deal, of course. And no, they don't want to do anything about it. Border surge, COVID-19 creates capacity issues for Texas county jails. That means raising the hell out of people's property taxes, folks, and making their communities unsafe because these sheriffs say they're having to release people. Not just illegal aliens, but release other criminals. Story again by Brandy Clark, a law enforcement source within Department of Public Safety, informed Breitbart, Texas about capacity issues at county jails in the southwest Texas border region. Source says it's increasingly more difficult to find space for wanted criminals and others they encounter along the border. So Breitbart went and talked to a bunch of county sheriffs. Said, sure enough, this is true. Sheriff Martinez in Val Verde County said he's confronted daily with capacity-related issues. Our facility deals with a population at its lowest from 68 inmates to a high of 170. If we have inmates that have mental health issues, gang affiliations, or high female inmate populations, that complicates the situation and reduces capacity. He says the jail had to turn away some nonviolent misdemeanor offenders in order to deal with overcrowding. The cause, he says, is not only the increase in activity along the border because of immigration, but a perfect storm of that coupled with the effect of COVID on the court slowdown across the state. There may be a light at the end of the tunnel. A sheriff says the courts are beginning to move again. In Eagle Pass, Chief Deputy Roberto De Leon of Maverick County Sheriff's Office said his deputies are dealing with the same issues as Sheriff Martinez in Del Rio. Similar issues being faced in Brackettville and at the Kinney County Jail and in Carrizo Springs at the Dimmitt County Jail. This has real costs. Hundreds of migrants visit this Texas border city block daily before moving north. Another one from Randy, who's been doing all the work for Breitbart, Texas. It's in McAllen. Central Station Bus Terminal and the Catholic Charities Respite Center across the street were bustling with released migrants on Tuesday. Folks, these aren't people that have been adjudicated. This is the catch and release stuff. So then they go in there and then they just go all over. This Border Patrol says more than 1,000 people cross illegally every day just in that sector. It's a lot more than that, we think. And they just all around there, and this Catholic Charity Center is out there giving them food and clothing and all that. Okay, fine, whatever. And it's run by that Sister Norma Pimentel, who is a far, far anti-borders, no borders, you know, pro-no borders leftist. I read her all the time in the Rio Grande Valley stuff. She's like the current Pope. I mean, she is a far leftist political activist, this nun is. Express News in San Antonio reported that police found a trailer emptied and got help from a police helicopter to search an area. They found 29 people hiding in the bushes. 20 of them were men. They were all illegal aliens. That's right. The truck trailer was abandoned on the South Side roadway that ended up leading to the arrest of 40 illegal immigrants. Border Patrol says criminal illegal alien arrests are up 900% to 1,000% in the Laredo sector alone. Folks, that is massive. It is massive. And it just continues. Driver abandons vehicle in Rio Grande with 300 pounds of marijuana in it, KVOEO, reported. 10 people rescued from suspected human smuggling operation in Southwest Houston. More than 160 arrests in 2 alleged human smuggling attempts, Border Patrol. That was just last week. It goes on. I've got this every day. I'm drowning. Migrants scream into darkness from Texas border river. That was last week. Fox News video crew caught him. Where's the compassion in this stuff? Where is the compassion in this kind of policy situation where all these people are encouraged to come here, pay off, and make even wealthier these brutal drug cartels? And they're brutal. Near the border in a town just this weekend, I believe they unloaded, they put in, you know, coolers like you'd put your beer in, chopped up human body parts and tumbled them out on the streets for people to see. It is as bad as anything you ever saw in any movie on genocide in the wars. And we're just empowering these people with this stupid stuff. Migrants resort to panhandling. So they're out begging all over these cities now as catch and release overwhelms the border shelters. It just continues, ladies and gentlemen. They don't care about your personal safety, and they don't care about the welfare of the United States. They care about power, and this is the way to get it. And on that note of not caring about your safety, there's a huge feature piece at the Associated Propagandists. And you don't believe they're propagandists? It's in the AP, it's in cooperation with the Marshall Project, which is a left-wing deal, and they carry it like it's real. Jails emptied in the pandemic. Should they stay that way? That's the headline on the big national story out today. And they go on, but the numbers have been creeping up again as courts are back in session. They're talking about how lowest record, you know, jail populations across the country and how wonderful this is. And they talk to all these people and it goes on for page after page about how wonderful this is. People weren't in jail. But there's no discussion in the first pages of this about the soaring crime rates until pages into the story with this line. In many places, though, the push to clear out jails and rethink incarceration has been short-lived. Momentum for long-lasting change is wavering in the face of the rise in crime, including shootings and other violence, after several years near historic lows. Did you know under Trump that it had been several years of historic lows? Now, they didn't tell you that. And they buried this line after 2 pages of propaganda about, oh my gosh, jails are filling up. And all these people they talk to, how it's terrible to put people in jail. It's just terrible to put people in jail. Reducing the incarcerated population across the country is possible, said Jacob Kane Brown, a senior researcher associate at the Vera Institute of Justice and author of a new report. We saw decreases in big cities, small cities, rural counties, and the suburbs, but the increase we see is troubling. In other words, they want criminals out of jail, period, and are pushing this stuff as if it were good, in spite of the fact that we've had an explosion in violent crime across the country during the exact same period of time. That's the left. They do not care about anything but power. They don't care about your life and that of your family. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.